enter now. I want to present to you a man who didn't enter now. Acts 24, please, and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, wishing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. I want you to notice, please, verse 25, Felix trembled. And in the original text, there is no and. It's a participle. Felix trembled, answering. Go thy way for this time. That's his protest. He says, leave me alone. Basically, that's what the word means. Don't disturb me. Let me alone. When I have a convenient season, there's his presumption. He thought he would have another chance. And the final note is his promise. I will call for thee. He kept his promise, but he never got saved. God will bless his word. People have a notion they can get saved when they like. That doesn't answer either to Scripture or experience. The Word of God tells me, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And God in his grace gives special period in the life when he comes near in gracious power. And it's within those periods that salvation can be enjoyed. I don't often quote Shakespeare, but it comes to mind. Shakespeare wrote, there is a tide in the affairs of man, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune, omitted. All the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in misery. But the Scripture puts it more pointedly. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And if God is speaking to you in these meetings, please be very careful and recognize he does speak at a certain period. I want you to see tonight a Roman governor. And I want you to see him trembling. That's very strange, isn't it? You could explain possibly why that bigoted Pharisee in chapter 9 trembled. There was a light above the brightness of the sun. You could well excuse the Philippian jailer trembling. After all, there had just been an earthquake. But here's a man who trembled as he makes answer to the gospel that's been presented to his heart. I ask you, why did he tremble? It's very simple. He trembled because he recognized that within these moments, as he answered Paul, he was settling the destiny of his soul for eternity. Now ponder that, please. Wouldn't that make you tremble? If I could bring to your heart tonight the consciousness that in these moments of the meeting, you are faced with a decision that's going to affect you, whether you be in heaven or whether you be in hell throughout the unending, unceasing ages of a long eternity. You say, now, what was it indeed that brought Felix to this point of trembling? And it's very simple. He heard Paul concerning the faith in Christ. You say, but what was there about the faith in Christ that indeed touched his heart and moved him? Now, I know the great apostle tonight won't mind me using his sermon headings to present to you the message that he presented to Felix. And that's what I'm going to do. Because Paul has given us the headings of his message. Here it is. He reasoned of righteousness. If you had been near to Paul, you might have tugged his coattail and said, Paul, be a little bit careful now. Remember, you're speaking to a governor. Do remember, Paul, that he's got a bad record. He was a slave. Did not record there's intrigue and lies and murder. Be careful. Paul had a responsibility to show Felix his path. Not in light of the standards of Rome, but in light of the standards of heaven. And to highlight his sin. Could I take for a moment a pause and ask you about your past? The deed, the thought, the motive. Just for a moment, let the consciousness of the past record of sin grip your heart. Because remember, neighbors may have forgotten. You may even have forgotten. But there's a record before God. And my God requireth that which is past. Sin cannot be swept under the carpet. You may hide from man, but you can't hide from God. The standard of inflexible holiness describes my state. Shows me my record of sin. Not all be the same type or the same amount, but it's before God. Would that cause a soul to tremble? Let me go to a second heading. Temperance. You think that's rather an innocuous word or topic for Paul to read? Self-control? But you know, if you had been close to Paul, you might have said, Paul, now, please, you went a bit far on the first point, but on the second point, be very, very careful, because Felix, he's a pleasure-loving man. He's broken home. He's broken heart. The wine, the song, the dance, they belong to Felix. His very name means happy. He's a man that's gone along in the power of sin. Now just treat him very carefully, Paul. But just a moment. The soul is going to be brought to Christ. They must understand that that power of sin will have to be broken. Face the fact, Felix, that you're under the control of sin. The mind, the member, the whole person is affected. You can't even think right. You're only a poor sinner under the control and the domination of that which will take you down to a lost eternity. Well, it's all right when the companions are there. When the cash is flowing, the drink is there. But I've quoted it before, I take a moment to quote it again. when the actors have played their last drama, and the jester has made his last pun, when the TV has flashed its last picture and the motor has had its last run, when the crowd-seeking pleasure have vanished and gone out into the darkness again, and the trump of the ages has sounded for you, what then? There's an end to it. An end to pleasure. An end to that power that holds you tonight in its dread grasp. Look at it, please. You need not only the past dealt with, you need the power broken. That caused you to tremble. But listen again. Judgment to come, Felix. That's not the past. That's not the present. That's the future. Wouldn't you like to have tugged Paul's coat again and say, Paul, he's the judge. Remember? No, Paul would say. There's a day coming when all the little Felixes of earth are going to stand at the great white throne to vie tonight for just a moment could paint the picture. Look at the scene. I saw, says John, the small, the dead, the small ones, and the great ones stand before God. Great white throne. Great because of its majesty, white because of its purity, a throne because of its authority. And on that throne, one sitting from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. Is that the face on which men spat? Is that the face that was stained with tears? Now the heaven and the earth flee before that awful face. Now he's judged. That's the scene. Who are the subject? The dead one. The small ones and the great one. All sinners of earth. Now their little day of sinning is over and they stand before that august judge. And where's the standard of judgment? It says the books are opened. That's the records of earth. That's the record, Felix, that will unfold to you what you have done, the deeds of the past. All is there on record. Will you please, Felix, just take a look at it? When all earth's pastimes and pleasures and pursuits are done and you stand before him, what will you say, Felix? When you stand before that awful throne, not only the records of earth, there's the register of heaven, there's the book of life. I want to ask you tonight, dear soul, before God, your name might be on many an august register on earth, church or chapel or gospel hall, won't make the slightest bit of difference. I ask you tonight, do you know, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, soul, if you can't say it here, I challenge your very heart tonight not to sleep. You dare not sleep. There's a great white throne. There's a judge upon that throne. There's a book to be opened. You have no assurance that your name is there. The page of the kingdom. On the page white and fair, the book of the kingdom is thy name written there. Judgment to come. Enough to make a soul tremble. Oh, but you say, I thought Paul was preaching about faith in Christ. Exactly. Let's see how faith in Christ deals with the past. Listen. Acts 13 and Paul preaching again. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. That's the pardon for the past. All those dark sins, those deep sins, removed. Oh, you say, if I could only know it. Oh, if I could only pray and do penance and have the assurance that all that dark past is gone. Listen, I have good news tonight for a poor lost sinner. You don't need prayers or tears or penance. There's one who has done sufficient on Calvary's cross. He, what did he do? He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Sin, not his own. The sentence fell on Jesus' head. God said to the poor sinner looking at the record, forgiven. Listen, all that believe are justified. Justified. That's clear. That's the word for the courtroom. Forgiveness is the word for the heart. Justified is the word for the courtroom because Jesus died. My heart takes it in. He died for sin. He died for my sins. It's the language of faith. He took my place. Pardon. Well, soul, you don't need to wait. I'll quote it again. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. All that believe, that take in the value of his person, the virtue of his provision, the victory of his power, the one who rose from the dead. God is satisfied. Thank God. Means my sins are gone, my fears are o'er. I shun God's presence now no more. Faith in Christ. What about the power of sin? Listen, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Mind you, this will be costly. Because the person that gets saved, they're changed. They'll not want to go in the old paths and the old pursuits and the old pleasure. Of course not. They're changed. They're born of God. It's only empty professors that evidence the emptiness of their profession when there's no change. But the power of God unto salvation is that which brings into the life, that which snaps the chain of sin and sets the prisoner free. Because he died, I believe, Jesus said, to everyone that believeth. Would there not be one tonight in the meeting at that point? 41 years have rolled their course since a boy in a little bedroom in the town of Lurgan in the north of Ireland bowed the knee with a closed Bible, tear stained. He had searched it until he was weary and couldn't search it anymore, and closed the Bible and told his God, I'm only a lost sinner, I'm going to be in hell. That was an honest thing. The first honest thing I told God that day, that I couldn't save myself. Now don't you think you can save yourself, but you can't. You say, if I can't save myself, who can? That brings me to the point. There's only one who can, who is able to save to the uttermost. That's Christ. That's why he came. To save. My, he paid the price. On Calvary's dark cross. He's able to save you. But you say, I couldn't keep it. Of course you couldn't keep it. But if you got to Christ tonight, he would keep you. Who do you think has kept me from that 5th of August, 1946? 41 years. Giving thanks every day, God saved me. Christ is my Savior. Oh, what can equal joy divine? Or what can sweeter be than knowing that the soul is safe for all eternity? Man tonight, woman tonight, I don't want to know why you want to stick with the world and its sin and its shame, going on to its doom, when Christ can bring you salvation and bring gladness into your heart. Do you not want it tonight? Do you not want him? Do you not want such a Savior? My, he stands ready to bring pardon, to bring power. How about you say, what about that judgment to come? Listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, shall not come into judgment. Peace. Peace. Why shall I never come into judgment? Because on the tree, the sentence for me, Jesus bore. Now both the sinner and surety are free. He took my place. He bore the judgment. I accept it. I believe. I'm free. My, it's simple. You see, God brings it within our grasp. And he gives us that peace of God. God spares you till you get home tonight. And you go to put your head on the pillow. Ask yourself, if I never wake, will I wake in heaven? Will I wake in hell? That's the issue. And it's for eternity. Faith in Christ. Whosoever believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. The words of my Savior come down to your heart tonight. And you stand at a critical point. Felix did. Then I hear him say, go thy way. But he's trembling when he says it. Go thy way for this time. Protest. Leave me alone, please. That's all sinners want, to be left alone. But I know that God has not been leaving you alone. I trust he won't leave you alone until you come into the goodness and the greatness of God's salvation. He's searching and seeking. He wants to save you. Don't say, go thy way. For this time. You wouldn't presume, would you, to say, when I have a convenient season? Do you know the story about D.L. Moody and the great Chicago fire? He told his audience one Saturday night he would preach the next week. That was the week of the great fire. Moody never preached in that hall again. I can't tell you, we've announced a meeting tomorrow night, but I can't give you till tomorrow night. Now please don't say, for this time. I'll think about it then. That's the devil's ploy. He hardly ever tells people there's no heaven or there's no hell, but he tells them there's no hurry. You have plenty of time. Because listen, Felix said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. And he did that. And he listened to Paul. There's no response. I believe he'd missed his chance. Be very, very careful. You say, what on earth made Felix make that decision? I don't know. Was it pride? Presumption? Prejudice? Maybe it was the woman at his side. Maybe tugging at his arm and saying, Felix, Felix, we have a big dinner tonight, you know. Those thoughts only disturb you. Don't you think Felix tonight will look back from hell and he'll curse the very name of the woman that sat by his side? If she did, let nothing stay you tonight. You come to that Savior who shed his blood. Take that step inside the door. And the verse we have heard tonight, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Go in and out, find pasture. You could trust him on that seat. Will you do that? Let us pray.